Coming up on this episode of the Mario Rosenstock podcast.
Lie down, throw over me, and out for the count. And I'd wake up in the middle of that, and the silence in the theatre. Everyone has just gone to their space. God, listen to the silence. And then within an hour, there's going to be magic. And I'm part of that magic. And then within half an hour, ladies and gentlemen, this is your half-hour call. You're on.
My guest on this episode is an absolute legend of panto. Oh yes, he is. Joe Conlon first walked onto the Gaiety stage at the age of 13, and he knew immediately that's where he wanted to be and to work. Well, he made it happen, and today Joe has become synonymous with panto and theatre in Ireland. He spent 15 years as the iconic Gaiety panto dame Nana, and has been in countless productions in that role and many others besides. Joe has now decided to hang up his panto boots to concentrate on other projects, including focusing on his own drama school, which he has been running for many years. So we thought it was a great time to sit down with him and chat about his many decades on stage, the importance of drama and drama schools for building confidence in kids, and much, much, much more.
Doing the film recently with Brad Pitt.
Oh, have you been in it?
I was in it.
Great.
As the head tree up the back. Right.
And did you see Pitt on set and everything?
Like, as close as we are.
Okay, and how's he looking?
He was not only is he aesthetically beautiful,
yeah,
but he's a gorgeous man. I voicemailed the two lads, the two producers. I am going to kill the both of you. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm hormonal. I don't want to be a celebrity. Just do the document. And they were peeing themselves up. I was just tired. I was. But you have to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to get on with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
In 14 years, particularly in the Gaiety, I was incensed at something I saw. And I went to the stage manager.
Tell me what you saw without telling me what you saw. So in other words, be discreet.
I saw, we have in this country the best actors across the board. Mm. And we don't acknowledge them enough. Tom Vaughan Lawler, Ruth Negga, Sinead Keenan, Andrew Scott. I think we don't give ourselves enough credit in the arts industry here.
My full chat with Joe Conlon coming up in just a couple of minutes time. But first, could it be true? Are RTE slowly paving the way for the return of one Ryan Tubridy?
You see, Fionnán, I think the public are ready for the return of Ryan Tubridy.
I agree, Moorish. I think we should bleed him in gently, though.
What about Dancing with the Stars?
Judge or contestant?
Contestant.
Hmm.
Make him do the rumba, the samba, the jive.
Right.
You know, let him know who's boss like we did with Desi and Marty.
Marty,
you know,
yeah.
Tango Tubridy with his top off.
I don't think the public would be ready for that extreme. What about something like, I don't know,
Room to Improve?
Oh.
Deirdre and John, great to see you again.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're looking for an extension, which includes an open plan living room and kitchen.
Dermot, listen then.
Yeah.
We've decided to go with somebody else.
Another architect.
What?
Out of the way, Bannon.
What's going
Tubbs
on?
Is back. There's a new architect in town, folks. Yeah. Deirdre, John.
Hi.
Great to see you. I brought some plans for the house.
Oh,
I was
great.
Thinking, what about a compound like the Kennedys, Hyannisport, you know, Massachusetts, 1962 vibes, you know, even space here to moor your boat.
Oh, we can't afford a boat.
Money's no object, guys. This is RTE, remember?
Ha ha!
What?
Shh! That didn't work out too well, Fionnán.
I know, Moorish. I still think there's an appetite, though, for Tubridy.
Appetite? There you have it.
Huh?
Ah, welcome back, folks. I'm Nevin Maguire, and welcome to Nevin's Healthy Home Chef.
Sorry, Nev.
What's going on?
Yeah, can I just get in there?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, move over, Maguire. Yeah, welcome to Tubbs Tasty Treats. Okay, tonight it's beans on toast, folks, but not just any beans. Look, it's jelly beans. Oh, two slices of this and you'll be as high as a kite.
Shh, it's still not working, Fionnán. We need to bleed Tubridy in more gently.
I think I might have it, Moorish.
How are you, Carol?
How are you, Paul?
Who's your man at the end of the bar?
That's the fella that stole all the money from the hungry pig.
No.
I'll see what he wants. Here, you. What do you want?
Oh, a pint of stout, please, good lady.
You're the tow rag that ripped off the hungry pig, aren't you?
No, but I paid it all back, I swear.
Get out of my pub, you scumbucket.
Yeah.
Shh.
We're running out of options, Moorish.
We need something that has a big audience for
Jesus, somebody. I have it, Moorish.
Go on.
The rugby.
Why?
That fella, the commentator.
Hugh Cal.
That's the one.
Yeah?
He sounds exactly like Tubberty anyway.
Easy
Nobody
does.
Will notice. Oh. Stick him on there.
Genius, Fionnán.
Welcome back to the Aviva Stadium. I'm Hugh Cal.
I'm Don Lennon.
And I'm Ryan Tubberty.
And guys, your take on this huge match against Italy.
Well, I went to Black Rock, but I didn't
Sorry,
play.
That one was for Donald.
Well, I didn't play rugby. I kind of geeked
Sorry,
out.
Donald.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph, two Hugh Cals. This could change everything.
That was a disaster, Fionnán. There must be somewhere for Tubberty.
There's one last option.
Now on RTE1, The Angelus.
Bong! Bong! Yeah! Bong!
And new comedy every week on the Mario Rosenstock podcast. So it's time now to meet the legend of the stage, that is Joe Conlon. Joe has a fascinating life story to share, and I was delighted he took the time to join me here in the Go Loud studios to share it with me. And you. Enjoy.
Right, you have to perform for me now, right?
Absolutely.
Do one of your big laughs that you were doing there. More? There you go, folks. That laugh should be familiar to all of you, because that is the laugh of somebody who has been in the Gaiety Panto for years and years and years as the Panto Dame. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Joe Conlon as the Panto Dame for years and years and years. I've been to see him so many times. And of course, we all go with our kids. Sometimes we go with our nieces. And then when people are older, sometimes they go with their grandchildren. Yeah. And generations after generations after generations go. Yeah. And I was I met Joe on the street a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I said, do you know what? You'd make a great subject for a podcast. And it's only taken now to get around to it. And I suppose the reason for that is, Joe, that is it after 34 years?
Yeah, 34 years of doing Panto, being part of the Panto tradition in Dublin, and 14 of them in the Gaiety Theatre. And it's been really good to me as a jobbing actor. It's been so good to me. And just 2 years ago, I made a decision going, time to move on.
Mm.
And
34 years.
After 34 years. And that came to fruition on the 18th of January, where I did my last Panto at 6:30 at the Gaiety Theatre.
Mm-hmm. Now, just for people, obviously, you know, some people will be able to see this on YouTube and some people will be able to see video clips. But a lot of people are going to be listening to this audio wise on my podcast. And just for the person that's sitting here in front of me, you know, I would say, what does he look like? If Peter Stringer was a jockey. Right, so the former Irish rugby player. You have a sort of physique of a jockey.
Okay.
You're very springy.
Yes.
You're very lean, extremely lean.
Yes.
I would say you're. I'll try and guess your weight. Will I, Joe?
Go.
I would say you're 11 stone.
Absolutely, bang on.
Right.
Yeah.
You're 11 stone.
10 and a half to 11.
You're a male, fully grown male, 11 stone. There's nothing on you. There's not a pick of you.
6 years of age.
Sick. No.
Yeah.
No way.
Nearly 6.
I can't tell. It's just. Can't tell.
Yeah.
Stephen, look, he's 66.
It's all good.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's hard to tell what age you are. You're kind of ageless. It's peculiar because there's not a pick on you. You must have a low body fat percentage. And you're also very stylish, by the way, with the colour mix. And so Joe, this world that you've been in for the last 34 years, it really, really fascinates me, because tell me the discipline it takes to be not only in a panto, but a panto dame.
I think you need a strong mental capacity, because of the demands, not alone as a panto dame, but as a jobbing actor in a contract that long. And it's your nutrition, your physicality. And it's not on the day when you start the job. You start that job in the middle of October, first day of rehearsals. But the preparation is before that. So what I've done over the years is I would finish my contract on, the 18th of January. I give myself some body and vocal rest, because it takes its toll, particularly when, and I use this very lightly, but particularly when you're getting older, you need to up it a bit more. And so I give myself a rest from February, March, April, then back into the gym again. 3 times a week, nutrition, loads of walking, and I would do that constantly, build it back up again. So by the time it came to that contract, that call, contract details, that's May, June, then all of a sudden you're into press calls, you're into fittings for costumes, script meetings, you're back in the treadmill again, and it just, and it's turning over.
For a person who works like you as one of the principals in the Panto, when do you start getting paid and when do you end getting paid? In other words, when does your contract start?
Oh, my contract starts first day of rehearsals and last day of performance.
When does it start in rehearsals?
Rehearsals would be the third week of October.
Right.
And the second last Sunday in January.
So you're talking about 5 months?
3.5 to 4.
4?
Yeah.
4 months?
4 months.
And that 4 months is safe to say is you need to be ready for it.
And I'm not going to say this is easy because it's not. And it's not easy from you're with a family and stuff happens. So your mental capacity to deal with issues that might arise.
In the family.
Have to be ready and knowing how.
You're making a point of saying not only do you have to be physically ready, you have to be emotionally ready.
Absolutely. In capital letters. Because I'm not talking about, I've missed that line, I was late coming on here. Oh God, that didn't work. No, it's stuff can arise within a family. And you just have to, and that's natural enough. When you're with people for such a long time, stuff happens, going, what's all this about? It mightn't necessarily be you, could be within the family. So you have to be aware of how to deal with that. And then when it dissipates, it's fine, it's grand, and get on with it. And stuff like that happens. Constant changes. When you go into work, you'll get an email or a WhatsApp to go, we need you in early, someone is sick, we need to do changes. And when those changes happen, if you are tired, you're on 2 shows a day, and you're going, oh God, where am I now? Okay, where's that line going? Are we cutting that line? Yeah, cut that line because it goes into that. And then there's blocking, so the choreographer has to change the whole routine. And so you're into a room, you're getting ready, you've checked your notes, and you're on, and you're constantly on. And even between shows, 2 shows a day, so some of us might have press calls. So you're out of that costume. I, as the dame, would have 2 people looking after me. Very fortunate to have that. But you're off stage, the press company are in, PR company are in, pick you up, Joe, do press grant. It's part of your job. It's part of your job to make sure that you look reasonably well in your appearance because you're representing a brand.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I know all that? I learned from watching other people going, God, they look sharp. What? You're just off stage. How are you're constantly
on the go. Who did you look up to? Who were the greats?
I would look up to John Kavanagh.
The actor?
The actor.
Was he? Oh, because he's an actor. Just
he's
an actor.
Yeah. Anita, the late
amazing
Anita Reeves.
Anita Reeves, yeah.
Twink.
John Kavanagh, amazing actor.
Oh,
Twink.
Oh my God, John Kavanagh.
Twink. I remember seeing John Kavanagh in the gate in Juno and the Pecos.
Oh, I can still see that.
And
with Donal McCann and Maureen Potter.
Donal, yeah.
Geraldine.
No, Funk. Not Maureen at that time.
Was she not?
No, but it was Donal and yeah. Donal and Joxer.
Yeah.
And yeah. Donal.
Fine actors.
Yeah.
And that's why, going away from the question, that's why I go to the theatre quite a lot on my own.
Do you?
Quite a lot.
Why?
To learn.
To study, to learn,
gain knowledge.
Do you?
Last year,
a night out for you then?
No, it's a bit, yes. So the year before last, the Gaiety had a great play on. I can't remember it because I most recently saw The Crucible, which is phenomenal. But in that play, the one last year, there was an actor called Joe Hanley.
Yeah, I know Joe. He was Fair City.
Absolutely. And he played a phenomenal role. Not alone did he, but the ensemble cast. An amazing cast of quality actors. And he had quite a difficult role, but in a comedic flair. Because it was so complex, but yet there was such an important part of his text to the storyline. And he came to his own in Act Two. And I remember saying to someone in there, the manager said, God, this is fantastic. Joe Hanley is phenomenal. And she said, wait till you see Act Two, Joe. His comic timing in Act Two, offering his hand of marriage to this character. And I was so overwhelmed by it. I had to go and see it again. Because you were taking in so much. And I'm going, oh my God. So I went the second time. And I knew what to look out for this time. And I was so enlightened that I remember leaving the Gaiety now that night thinking, that's how you do it. It's his physicality. And that's why I go to the theatre a lot. Even recently in The Crucible, it is phenomenal. The casting is phenomenal. But some of the casts of actors are just, they're off the scale. Mm. And it's quite a long piece of work. You have to be very clued in. You're not going to that piece of work going, I'm really not up to this. I will go to that again. Rory Nolan.
Yes.
Right?
Russell Carroll Kelly.
I'm a bit of a fan of Rory's, as he sort of knows. I've seen him in Drood and all that. And to see him in this character, I can't think of the name, but his diction, there's no falling off the end of lines. And I was upstairs and you could hear, and I'm always saying to young children about your diction, you know.
So this is good. This is what's coming across to me. You know, you're Joe Conlon. You're known to me as the Panto Dame. You make people laugh. You're associated with happiness and fun, frivolity, frippery. You know, wildness, dressing up as a woman, being outrageous, cracking politically incorrect guides, and yet the person sitting in front of me today is so professional. So serious about their profession. More serious, I think, because I know a lot of them, than a lot of actors who are so-called serious actors. It's funny watching you because you are completely committed to what you're doing. And I think one of the reasons you are is because you had no other option by the cage that you put yourself in, this contract that you put yourself in. You either have to, as Morgan Freeman famously said, get busy living or get busy dying, you know, because you're going to get caught out if you don't. Tell me what, during the height of Panto season, bring me quickly through your day from the moment you open your eyes to the moment you go to bed.
So it's a two-show day. The alarm will go off at 7 a.m. Quick cup of coffee and just like, who am I? What am I? Lunch and stuff and food prep is done the night before. So for an 11 a.m. show, I'm in the theatre for 9 o'clock. Get all my food prep, leave it in the green room, leave it there. Check notes, any stuff that's left at the stage door, requests, any emails from the management, stuff, all that. Then I'll do my own vocal warm-up and I'll do my own physical warm-up, some weights, which I'd have in the dressing room, and a bit of stretching. Then I get ready, make sure my makeup is on, my face is on, check costumes with the team, the two girls, Roisin, and whoever's assisting Roisin. And then some hot water and lemon, a bit of honey, just to warm up your vocal cords.
Does that help?
Yes, it does. Loads of, and steaming my voice.
Steaming your throat?
Constantly.
That helps?
The show, all the time. So it's moist all the time.
Moist. So the putting your head over the hot water moistens your voice?
Absolutely. I have a thing called Dr. Nelson, which I got in London, and just steams it. You suck onto it and just steams and steams all the time. And then you're called on stage for vocal and physical warm-up. Then there's notes, and that's about 25 past 10, stage director calls us, any notes, any cleanups, and then the show, and then you're on, 11 a.m. show.
And that show, those are long shows.
They're long shows. And
you might have multiple costume changes.
I would have 8 costume changes, 8 wig changes, shoes, it's constant. And that show is over. Between shows, it's rest, vocal and physical rest. Unless you have a...
Yeah, what do you do after the first show?
Show finishes. Might do a few meet and greets, which are lovely to do.
Yeah.
And costumes off, into trackies, chill.
Where chill?
Chill in the green room.
Okay.
People congregate, chat. And it's lovely to observe people talking, bit of a giggle. Laughing is great. Laughing is so important during that time. And finding out more about your colleagues. Never knew that about you. I brought up...
Bonding.
Bonding. In one word, bonding. Never knew you were a twin, Joe. Yeah. Tell us more. That's it. You know, stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, I would go into my room, and it's close to the stage, to the green room. Lie down, throw over me, and out for the count. And I'd wake up in the middle of that, and the silence in the theatre. Everyone has just gone to their space. And I often used to think, God, listen to the silence. And then within an hour, there's going to be magic. And I'm part of that magic. I'm breathing. And so I'm awake now. I've taken that hour's rest and just chill and partake in the silence. And then within half an hour, ladies and gentlemen, this is your half hour call. Now, it's on. You're on. Freshen up. Get ready again. You're on the treadmill. And that's constant. So.
And then the next show is?
Next show following morning, 11.
No, o'clock. No, no. The next show that night?
Oh, 6:30.
6:30.
And you're full on. And
again, multiple costume changes.
Multiple costumes.
Makeup on, makeup
on again,
off.
On, freshen up makeup.
Freshed up.
Wigs checked. Yeah. All my costumes laundered between shows.
Between that shows, those shows take at least 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. That's constant. So there's no complaining here because you've signed the contract.
Mm. No.
You've sealed this. And so on you go. And they expect the first show. Every show they see is a first performance. It's no less. I've done 15 shows.
Standards are high.
They have to be. They never should falter.
Who's responsible for those standards, apart from yourself? Who?
It would be the creative team, Darren Crosby.
But when you say the creative team, who?
Darren Crosby, director.
Director.
And Donna Leonard, our stage manager.
Okay.
But you have an onus to yourself.
Well, you do, yeah.
Your craft. You know, your shoes are dirty. I have a thing about dirty shoes.
Does the director sit in on every performance?
No, but constantly notes. Is that a pain in the arse sometimes? Absolutely. Get over yourself. But you're tired. Mm. You go, are his notes correct? They are correct. Because that's gone a bit tired.
Mm.
Pick that up.
Yeah.
Just watch the timing and that.
Yeah.
Can't hear that word. Oh, yeah. Right. It's part of our job.
See, that's what I see, because I've come to see the panto at all different types, all different stages. And as a professional, I'm watching it for tiredness.
Mm.
I'm kind of going, and you're right. They just don't. They rarely, if ever, they really don't drop the ball.
No,
everything is as tight as it can be. I can criticize the writing at times, but that's fine.
Absolutely.
But they're executing it.
Yes.
Absolutely perfectly. Another one I admire. I'll get back to you now in a minute. But another pro I admire in your game is it Michael or Nicholas Grinnell?
Nicholas Grinnell.
He is just, by the way, folks, he's the baddie.
He's the baddie. You know, always
the kind
was.
Of camp British baddie.
Yes. Yes, you are disgusting, all of you.
That kind of.
You are horrible. Oh, boo.
I'm so glad you brought that up because you saw in that actor, who's this guy? God, he knows his craft.
Oh, yeah, no, he does.
He knows.
But he moves like an
actor.
And
he's anal. About stuff.
But he moves like an actor. He acts.
Absolutely. But he, not alone is he an accomplished actor, but he comes from a dynasty of accomplished.
Yeah, his father, Aidan, and everything. Aidan Grinnell. It was a matinee idol.
Absolutely. You know, so, and rightly so. But I would be concerned about actors coming into the industry and not having that discipline.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that.
Well, maybe I'll ask you this question then here, because I was going to ask you it at some stage. I presume you are a soul of discretion, so I won't be pushing you on that level.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will ask you a general question.
Yes.
Have there been times when you've seen someone, we don't even have to mention whether their gender, somebody come into the company and they're clearly not ready for what they're about to...
I can't believe you said that. In 14 years, particularly in the Gaiety, I was incensed at something I saw, and I went to the stage manager.
Tell me what you saw without telling me what you saw. So in other words, be discreet.
I saw late attendance.
Okay.
And not giving their all on stage.
Yeah.
And I let it fly.
Can I ask you a leading question?
Yes.
Was the person a starter offer or well established or well known name already?
Would have experience.
Okay.
And would know.
Yeah.
Right?
But we're sort of phoning it in.
Phoning it in.
Mm.
Now.
Unacceptable to Roy Keane.
Just come here. Roy, you're right. If you're listening,
Roy doing panto would be hilarious.
Roy
being a panto dame would be hilarious.
Did you see him?
You know,
panto.
I could, like, because he would execute it. You know,
he doesn't realize
seven
how
costume
he
changes
is.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
I've got my makeup on and off, and look at you phoning it in as the fucking baddie.
That's him. He doesn't realize his comic timing. He's very funny, right? And that's naturally very funny. But this particular company member late, and I saw it. And I saw something else. And I saw... So this particular day, this actor continued this. And I said to Donna, can I have a word with you? He said, are you all right, Nana? It was never Joey or Joe. It was Nana. And I said, no, I'm not. I'll be honest with you. I said, this is not acceptable. I said, I'm saying this on my last year here, that someone in this company says, I know, I've seen it.
Right.
I said, great. I said, I'm sorry for complaining. No, you complain. I said, because Donna, I and this company are breaking their neck out there to maintain that standard. They're in the Gaiety, and whether they're in the local hall in Athlone, in whatever, there's a standard to be maintained.
Yeah.
And I'm going, hello? But I didn't go to that individual actor because it's not my job to do
Correct.
So. I went to the person in right. charge and also the dance captain. And she said, thank you, I am aware.
And was it sorted?
It was sorted.
And did that person accept their ticking off and get on with it?
But went back to the same way.
Oh.
So that won't last.
It won't last.
That won't last.
That won't last.
And when I saw it again, I went, not my business.
No, not this time.
You've done it.
Yeah.
Good luck. You're not going to
You've
last.
Made your intervention.
Absolutely.
But that person won't be around for long.
No, he will not.
No. He. Okay, it's a he.
Well,
look, we're all...
48 hours are crucial.
Anyway, so then you'd be in bed by what time?
Oh, in bed by 10:30.
In bed. And would you, do you, like, people often ask me this.
No, I know what you're going to say.
I know, but people often ask me this, you know, so I'll tell you the answer before you tell me your answer. So in the early days of me doing my tours and everything, you know, I would come off stage sometimes at 11 o'clock at night, sweating, exhausted, elated.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the immediate instinct is to keep that feeling going.
Yeah.
And in other words, you get greedy about that feeling and you go, I want to feel even better. Oh. Right. So. I used to tell people this story that, and I actually did some research on it, that your physical senses after you come off stage, after a one-man performance and you're feeling elated, right? So I don't have a great sense of smell. And after I come off stage in one of those, I can smell everything because all the blood capillaries in my nose are opened up because the adrenaline is pumping through my body.
Yeah.
My brain is moving at twice the speed of normal people at that time of night. And all you want is to make that ecstatic feeling continue. And so you'd often take drink, go drinking and 3 o'clock at 4 o'clock in the morning and you regret it. So after a few years, I stopped doing that because you just can't keep it going. Mm. And now I just enjoy the feeling for as long as I can. But I do find it very, very, very difficult to calm down. So I like to play chess or watch a complicated documentary on television or read a complicated book because your brain is so alive. So I'm asking you, how do you get to bed at 10:30? How do you calm down?
So I'll answer that in a second. I'm just going to go back to that feeling that you got and get coming off stage, because that's a feeling we as performers and creatives can't explain to the general public. And it's a feeling of great elation. It's just like... you're really tired going on to that 6:30 show and going, oh, and Donna's buzzing everyone up. Come on, you're great. Curtain up and you just start, right? Curtain down going, geez, where did that energy come from? Where did that come from?
Mm.
And it's a great feeling of accomplishment, right? To go back to your question, when I go home, bags at the bottom of the stairs, lights on, heating on, whatever, up straight up to the bathroom and clean my face properly, face makeup and all that stuff, and then into PJs, into a dressing gown, relax, something light to eat, and some green tea and something light like that, and just chill, watch a little bit of TV. But my brainwave is, it's 5 past 10. Okay, give 10 minutes. 10:15.
You're still on a regimen.
I go to bed.
Wow.
And
get to the bed.
Get to the bed.
So in other words, do the act of lying down.
The rest, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The rest is really important. Mm. That bedtime.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the alarm, up before the alarm, 6:45. Grand, wait a few minutes. For me, it was always the bed.
You don't drink, or do you drink moderately?
I do, but not within that, not within a contract like that.
You don't even drink within the contract?
No.
So you would cut it out for 4 months?
So, I'll tell the truth. If I have a day off, that evening, I can have one or two drinks.
The evening before you get the evening, and you'd have a glass of wine maybe?
Yeah, glass of wine, pint of something.
Right.
Right? But not, no. You can't.
Again, so
because you have responsibility.
Yeah, I know.
But to the punter, your voice. This, yeah. And funny
but
enough.
You're such a professional. I mean, there are so many people in so many professions, I hope you understand this, that aren't remotely as conscientious as you are about doing what they do. And they're good at what they do.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're not remotely as conscientious as you.
I think that's a discipline. And I think I've learned it from the Greco. I think because.
What's the Greco?
From the word go.
Oh, sorry.
From when I said...
From the get-go.
From the get-go.
Oh, I thought you said Greco.
Greco. No, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Get-go. I think from a young kid, I've always had that discipline. And that...
Have you?
Yeah, I've always had that. Mm. Like,
did you get that from your parents?
Did I get that from mum and dad? No. No,
it
I think...
It must have come from somewhere.
I think because... Yes, it has to because... I think because... I was a non-academic, all those school issues and all that. But when I got on stage, hello, and I'm a Virgo, I'm all that. So I think that is something to...
So am I. What's your date?
September the 5th.
Ah, okay. 31st of August.
So I think I'm something like that. Right?
Ray Darcy's a Virgo as well.
Is he?
Well done. Yeah. Perfectionist. Depression. Didn't work. I knew it wouldn't work. It wasn't perfect. I know it. Ray, shut up. It's fine. Ray is always so negative about things that won't work because he's trying to be perfectionist.
No, you'll always make it work and it will happen.
Yeah,
it takes time to get there to that process of, but worrying about will it work, it's not going to work.
No, it's not.
Like, it's not because you're putting such a negative thought process to it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the total opposite.
Does being, you're of course, not just a panto dame, you are a disciplined and professional actor.
Mm.
Has being a panto dame affected your casting ability as an actor?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Because you're pigeonholed.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a constant.
Isn't that a little unfair?
Absolutely it is.
I mean, considering that when you are playing the panto dame, you are almost unrecognisable and unrecognisable as Joe Conlon. And if I wanted to cast you in Glenroe, Fair City, or Scent of a Woman, or any bloody film, people wouldn't have a clue that you're a panto dame. They'd just go, here's this rather slim, lithe
actor.
Man
who
could be interesting in rather number of roles.
I did a show called Dusty Memoirs in the Viking Theatre a few years ago with this lovely actress called Maria Blaney. And it was a two-hander. And the writer said to me, would you be interested? I said, I would. Can I see the script? And so I don't doubt my ability, but I want to make sure I'm right for the role and I can give it 100%. And I put myself under a wee bit of pressure. But, excuse me, but when I did it, the amount of people that came to see that play, because it was Joe Conlon, the panto dame, and when they were leaving, you'd meet them because a lovely space, the Viking, and never knew you could do that.
Yeah.
And it was always that.
Absolutely.
I'm drama trained. I've basic training.
People pigeonhole you.
Pigeonhole you. And that's why that decision 2 years ago, with stuff happening now, with the play, with some great castings, doing the film recently with Brad Pitt.
Oh, have you been in it?
I was in it.
Great.
As the head tree up the back. Right, and that was the reason I did it.
And did you see Pitt on set and everything?
Like as close as we are.
Okay, and how's he looking?
He was not only is he aesthetically beautiful,
yeah,
but he's a gorgeous man.
Is he?
He's the loveliest, loveliest.
Tell us a bit. Is he going down well on set? People are enjoying his company.
He was, couldn't have been nicer.
Is that
to
right?
Everyone. Just walked on set.
Has a thing, a nice way about him.
Just walked on set. We had our rehearsal because I was dancing and all that. And we left the set. He had his rehearsal with the other actor. We all came together. He was last on number one, is coming into the room. Fine. He walked in. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all well. Sat down, took his place. I went into rehearsals and we were there for quite a lot of time. He had to do his bit and engage with us. He was wonderful. And particularly two young children on the set.
His two young children?
Two actor children. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
He could not have been nicer. And that experience.
And you could tell it's a nice way about him.
Oh, absolutely. In 100%. He just. And he was a jobbing actor doing his thing, engaging with people in the room.
He was being an actor.
Absolutely.
Doing
yes,
his job.
Yeah. And what was lovely about that day, a long day, 5 a.m. till what, 8:30 p.m. Like, it was a long day. Mm. But I remember going home in a car with a colleague. And we just smiled. The day was long, but to be in the presence of someone of that magnitude, yeah, and also lovely, you know, it was just a great...
Brilliant.
And it was straight after the panto, straight into...
Terrific.
It was lovely to be part of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Great memory.
A great memory. Nice day spent with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And what was the what is the film? I've heard, we've all heard
it's
that he's...
It's called
in.
The Riders, a book, The Riders.
Mm-hmm.
And he's touring around the world and he's filming around the world, mm-hmm, rather. And I think he's in Corfu now for the next 5.5 weeks.
Mm.
I just hope the weather's better than it is.
Yeah. He's a fine actor.
Very fine actor.
Yeah, I think he is a really
watching
good actor.
Watching him turning it on immediately.
Yeah, he's very good actor. Very, very good.
Oh, God.
Sort of in that same, maybe on the level of kind of Tom Cruise. And what I mean by this is that both Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt have been, you know, compromised in to many extent by their movie star and their looks status, the fact that they've been regarded as gorgeous, gorgeous male stars,
yes,
and that's kind of blinded us to the fact that they're both fine working actors. Cruz is a great actor, a tremendous performer, and Pitt I've enjoyed in so many films. I mean, even in the last 12-15 years, I would name two or three. He made a World War II tank movie called Fury. Absolutely stunning.
I think we don't.
Stunning. We don't. Also, Inglourious Basterds. His performance in that with Tarantino. It's fabulous, really funny. As an actor.
Yeah.
And then another one. Oh, God, this one is great. If you can have a look at this one. Tell me if you haven't seen it. Quite recent, about 10 years old. Ad Astra.
No.
Oh, get it out. You'll love it, right? A deep space movie. But one of those modern space movies, which is very sort of high concept, you know, dark. It's set slightly in the future, on Earth. And man can travel much deeper into space. And Pitt's father was a famous space guy, but he got lost out in space. But they pick up a signal from where he was, which indicates he might still be alive. And Pitt goes in search of his father. He sets out and goes in search of his father from Earth. It's absolutely class.
I'm thinking of that team of actors in the Gaiety at the moment. We have in this country the best actors across the board. Mm. And we don't acknowledge them enough, I think.
Mm.
You know, Tom Von Lawler, or people like that, Ruth Negga.
Mm.
I saw Ruth Negga on Broadway in that Shakespearean piece of work with Daniel Craig, and she was phenomenal. Mm. You know, Sinead Keenan, Andrew Scott.
Mm.
I think we don't give ourselves enough credit in the arts industry here.
It's not an Irish thing to do, though.
No, of course it's
you
not.
You know, we're
well
you
done,
know.
You. You're great. Oh no, no, don't give him.
Don't
that much praise.
Give him a kick back up the arse now. Back in your box.
Back in your box.
You know, as Bono said, the old difference between Irish and Americans. You're driving by in your car and you see the big house on the hill, and the Irish and the American guy will go, "Someday I want to be that guy."
Yeah.
And
in
Ireland we go, "Someday I want to get that guy."
Yeah.
That's the difference. Americans are so positive and aspirational. Irish people are so down. Keep back in your box.
Yeah.
So we're not the kind of people, you know, you won't find Sir Joe Conlon or Lord Conlon of Malahide. You know, we just don't do that to each other. We just go, there's Joe.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's enough. That's, you know, Joe did a good job. Fair play to him.
That's Killian Donnelly.
Yeah.
That's Killian Donnelly. That's Killian. God. I met him recently going down to Cork, both on the same train. And that's exactly, there's Joe.
Yeah.
Where are you going? So I'm going to Moore and Doherty on a press call. So am I.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I know.
It is.
But you can't get ahead of yourself in Ireland.
No, you
can't. And that in a way is a good thing in a way, because it keeps you, it keeps you working hard.
Absolutely.
It keeps you grounded. So if your ego can put up with it, I mean, some of us could sit at home and go, why don't people tell me constantly they're loving my work? But it's just, that's not the way life works, you know? And I mean, you should love the work enough that should be enough.
Absolutely.
I've had to come to terms with that a lot myself. That idea of, you know, sometimes I break my bollocks, right? Putting out a sketch and I think it's, you know, it's my Michelangelo or whatever, you know? And I go, why aren't more people telling me? And then I have to just come to the conclusion, shut your mouth. Do you love it enough?
I'm with that gig.
But also, do you love it enough in itself to want to do it? And the answer is always yes. And that's what keeps me going. I love, love, love.
And I think once you love it, then you'll move forward quicker.
Correct.
I think that have that passion and drive, determination, or discipline.
But also, like, you've got to be, you can't be a baby about the whole thing.
No, you can't.
You just explained Brad Pitt there, right? And one of the words you mentioned was 5 a.m. You know, so whether it's Brad Pitt, Joe Conlon,
whoever,
or Killian Donnelly, the call is 4:50 in the morning.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Now you might be getting paid 1 in 2 million for it, right? But still, you have to get up at 4:50 in the morning and act like a human and a grown up, and not act like a dickhead. Yeah.
when I was promoting recently that documentary, Curtains Up.
Yeah.
Behind the Curtain. I had a press call. I had to go to Cork to Dahiamore at train, 2.5-3 hours. Do that for 2 minutes, back on the train, up back home at 8 o'clock. Arrived into Houston. It's dark. It's raining. I'm back up the following morning at 6:30 to go to RT for another press call with Marty Whelan.
Yeah,
I can't tell you. I voicemailed the two lads, the two producers. I am going to kill the both of you. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm hormonal. I don't want to be a celebrity. Just do the documentary. And they were peeing themselves up. I was just tired. I was just, oh my, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to get on with
Absolutely. Joe, when you're doing Panto, you say it's a 4-month contract, right? You answer this discreetly or as discreetly as you want to. Well, sure, I'll ask you baldly. Would you get paid enough in the 4 months to survive for the whole year?
No.
So would you get, the fact that you're doing, you're the Panto Dame, the fact that you're doing two shows a day, is that reflected in your pay? The fact that you're working so hard? I mean, normal plays only go on once a night. You're doing twice. Do you get played double time, treble time?
No, that doesn't meet your contract, as you know.
But do you get paid well?
You get paid enough to survive.
That's not a great. That's lots of people get paid enough to survive, Joe. And survival is survival is subjective, I suppose.
I don't think it should be measured by the amount.
No, but I'm curious though.
But curiosity killed that cat. But yeah, get paid very well.
Yeah. Oh dear.
I know. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I have a great contract.
Yeah, so you do get paid well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's important to know.
Yeah.
And I would hope that you do.
And in fairness to the management in there, very appreciative of that.
Yeah.
Can't say enough about Caroline Downey.
She's great. I love Caroline.
Absolutely.
And do you get paid bonuses?
No.
No. I'm just wondering that, for example, if the run has a tremendous, even more success, do you get add-ons?
God, no.
No?
No.
Okay. That's not very egalitarian.
No, contract is. Contract is signed.
Do you always know how long your contract is going to go on till, or do sometimes it gets extended?
No, it'll always be extended.
Right.
It will always. You have a clause in the contract subject to extension.
Yeah.
But it always, and this year it just filled out again, you know.
Yeah, is it always full?
Always full.
Yeah. Are some years better than others?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell why? The name of the show?
Are some years... this year it was exceptional.
Why?
Because of the casting.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast story. Young children, Belle. Young kids want to be Belle. Male or female. They all want to be in that yellow dress. All right? And what... I think the music this year. Oh my God, the music this year. There are Panthers that I've been in, but that's a personal opinion that I've gone, oh God, I don't like this. Get on with the gig and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So if you had one panto, right, Joe? And I said to you,
Robin Hood.
Joe, we'll come back to the question now. You have one panto, Joe. You have one panto to pull in the people this year. One panto. That's all you're allowed to choose. What would it be?
Beauty and the Beast.
It would be Beauty, would it?
Yeah.
Would that be a popular decision? Or is that you? Just you talking?
That's me. It was either Beauty and the Beast or Peter Pan.
What about Cinderella, for fuck's sake?
Cinderella, Scott, yeah, she gets the ride and she goes to the ball and she gets the slipper.
But isn't that what everybody love?
Well, I'm sure they do, but I think...
Do you think Beauty and the Beast pulls them in?
Oh, definitely did this year. Yeah. Peter Pan last year, you couldn't get a ticket for love or money. We'd flying sequences.
Do you think the word spreads about a panto?
Oh, definitely.
It really, is it important?
Yeah.
So and people go, that panto's good this year.
Yes. And I think the pressure on the Gaiety Theatre is, and Caroline Downey as producer, is that Beauty and the Beast was phenomenal last year.
Mm.
Now they're doing Robin Hood this year.
It has the highest standards, doesn't it, Gaiety?
Oh,
because they do the most effects and everything. Yeah, they do some great effects.
Without exception.
Why? This is an interesting question for you, right? So, the Gaiety's great. I did 5 nights in the Gaiety this year.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful space.
Mm.
But would there ever be a temptation among the producers to, let's say, take it into the Bord Gáis or the Three Arena?
It would never work.
Would it not?
No.
Tell me why.
It'd lose its intimacy. The Gaiety is a tradition going back a long time ago.
Yeah.
Jimmy O'Dea. Maureen Potter, who I was on stage with, who I learned my craft from, and more. But to transfer that product into the Bord Gáis, we have a connection with the audience that stage.
You do.
And as you know, as a solo artist, it's a great connection. You can see lights, you can't see everyone. And that's what's great.
Yeah.
People feel part of it.
Yeah.
Where the Bord Gáis or wherever, Three Arena, wouldn't work.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Good point.
In my personal opinion, no, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Maureen Potter, what was she like?
Oh, she was fantastic.
Mm.
Mm. And funny enough, at the start of this, that's a name I forgot about, because at 18 years of age, when you're on stage with people like her and a man called Danny Cummins, was a wonderful comedian, Vernon Hayden, all those great people. That's
Jack Cruz.
Jack Cruz in the Olympia, Cecil Nash, all these great stalwarts.
Yeah.
So when you're 18 years of age, there's no drama schools, there's no stuff like that, and where there are now, you take it all in. You watch it. You watch her. You watch her discipline, the accuracy of her timing. Oh my God, fantastic. So you bring that with you in life. You just used to see her, you know.
It rubs off on you.
Well, of course it does. And even at the end of the
game, you breathe in her memory. You breathe in the feeling of being around her, and you go, I want to be that.
Yeah. Now, she wasn't without, all right? She was a strong lady.
Right.
Okay.
Now, I'm interpreting what you're saying there now is that's very euphemistic talk.
Yeah.
So that's like the fella at the funeral who goes, John didn't suffer fooled gladly, i.e. he was a bollocks. John liked to drink. A chronic alcoholic. So Maureen was strong-headed at times.
She was strong.
Bull-headed?
Yeah.
Or when you say that, do you mean that she was forceful in her opinion about how something should be done? Or was she grumpy? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, she could be.
Grumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, she could be. Mm. Yeah. And when you heard things like... Miss Potter's not... You hear Miss Potter going, what the fuck, Miss... Wait. So you never cross the line there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, passing the room, walking very quietly past that room. Mm. There's stuff like that.
In other words, she had this kind of, there was a regal presence about her. Is that right?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was lovely as well.
Oh, absolutely she was.
Was she kind?
Yeah, she was very kind.
Yeah.
Generous
as an actor?
Maybe to be discussed at a later time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like they used to say about, you ever hear the famous stories about Cyril Cusack? But the upstaging.
Yeah.
He keep walking backwards so that people keep the focus on him.
Yeah, you know.
So did she want the limelight on her?
Oh, yes.
Oh, really? So she had a healthy ego.
She had a healthy ego. And it was lovely too. I was in Annie with her after doing loads of pantos. And to see her change from that panto character. And I'll get back to that panto dame in a few minutes about characters and panto dames, because there's a slight difference. But when she changed into Miss Hannigan, she was a formidable actress. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
She was just like, holy God, she just changed it around. Yeah.
Well, a lot of comedians and comedians are formidable actresses because some people would say that comedy is much harder than straight.
Yes.
So they can easily, they can revert to the straight easier than a straight can do comedy.
Yeah. Because the amount of straight actors that I've said, would you ever consider doing a panto? Oh, God. Jesus, no. Good God, no. Do what you're doing. You must be joking. Wouldn't be able for that. I said, you don't know. Oh, no. Couldn't do that.
Mm.
I went, oh, all right. Oh, you sure? Ah, no. Because I was talking to two great lads going, you'd be great as actors to bring that. I would love to see actors, as children would see great actors, like don't do a panto, you know. But it's whatever their concerns would be. A few I've said, no, Joe, God, how do you do it? Jeez, you're much older than me. It's nothing to do with age. It's a definite no. And going back to that thing about the female actor as the lead in that dame role. So I was doing a bit of research recently, and the dame is always a man. So Maureen would be the female lead, as Twink was the female lead. And so they weren't the dames. Jimmy O'Dea was the dame. Maureen took over as the female lead. But she was, her energy, the minute she came on, and her timing.
Yeah. The MO you gave me of Maureen was a mixture of things. Brilliant and, you know, tough as well.
Mm.
So she had an ego. She was kind, but she was tough. She could be grumpy. You'd have to be careful around her.
Yeah.
And all that. How does that list of attributes compare with Twink?
Twink was just arrive and go, oh, sweet Jesus, she's here. Just arrive. This is your 5 minute call. We've no Adele. Oh, she's on the way. And she'd arrive, 99 dogs, 101 bags, and arrive on stage, and the whole production would just elevate. And to watch her on stage and her energy and her comic timing. Sweet deliverance, Jesus. Like we go, what's Adele on today? What's going, like, just. Like,
so what are you saying?
And brilliant, pure brilliance. You couldn't but not acknowledge how wonderful she is during that time. It's just great.
She's terrific.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you say terrific, you're talking about terrific technical ability mixed with star quality?
Oh, star quality in abundance. In abundance.
And ability as well.
Oh, her ability.
Would she sing a lot in pantos?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's a good singer, yeah.
Beautiful voice. But when she would get on that floor in the rehearsal room, that energy going, no, can we take that line out? No, can we not change that? And all with the best intent.
Right, so.
Wanting it great.
Real pro?
Oh, Jeannie Mac, you couldn't question that of that lady.
Her in terms of demanding our grumpiness?
You know, you have to give credit with someone of that stature, that some of that would come with it.
Mm.
All right? And that's part of that person. If they have that with them, fine. Whatever the reason is behind it, fine. But it comes with people of that quality and magnetism and great talent.
Mm. She would...
And very kind.
Yes.
Abundantly kind.
I'll take that. I'd say she wouldn't be the only, we wouldn't be the only people in the world, apart from Twink, to think that she doesn't get the credit she deserves. I'd say she'd be number one on the list in terms of people to think that she doesn't get the, I kept fucking RTE on the road alone, I did. I've seen her say that. But do you think it's, do you think maybe she doesn't get enough credit for herself, or has she got enough credit?
Oh, God. You know, we're in different times now. And we've moved on. So I think that with she's
just
been
to
away.
You that Twink has arrived into the room and she's holding a gun to Joe's head.
She's been away for quite a while, you know. And I think as a jobbing actor, that I was very lucky to share that stage with her.
She probably really admired your professionalism.
Yeah, probably did. I don't know that, but I honestly would have to admire hers, and I always did.
Yeah.
Even myself and Nico, we'd always talk about her through the panto run. She would always come into our conversations.
Mm.
And we go like, how'd she get away with that? How'd she do that?
Joe, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. There's a couple of things I didn't get around to talking to you. For example, you had cancer in 2018.
Yeah.
And prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And well done for working your way through
Thank
that.
You,
and
yeah.
I presume, it's of great. Course, you'd tell people to get checked out.
Man, get out there and just get checked.
And of course, you got, if you're 66 now, I still can't believe I'm saying that, but if you're 66 and this is 8 years ago, that means you would have been 56.
I was, yeah.
Right, which is of course in the sniper's alley.
Yeah, absolutely.
For men of our age in our 50s.
I was very lucky and blessed.
Very lucky. Did you catch it early?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you got
good treatment. Wasn't an easy journey.
No.
But it was part of the course and I accepted that.
Did it, just kilometers. Did it come in the midst of a production?
No, it came just before one, so I was all right.
You were in the clear?
Yeah.
So you got to work?
I wasn't saying I was in the clear.
I know, you got to work though.
I got to work.
Yeah.
And that panto was Aladdin.
Yeah.
And that cast helped me so much.
Did they?
Crew. Only for that.
Had you had radiotherapy?
Yeah, and all that.
And you would have been,
and during the panto.
And you would have been a bit weaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they helped you.
Yeah. Just people, love people. Yeah.
People become very close, don't they, during productions?
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
and do you make some friends for life?
Absolutely, yeah. You do.
People
Absolutely.
You stay in touch with?
And you don't make enemies. You just, they're not fitting into your
I understand.
Journey. Mm. But you make great friends and the best of memories. Absolutely, you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Joe, congratulations on 34 amazing years in panto. I hope this is a new beginning for you. And I hope that you'll go out. I mean, you're looking so amazing and fit. And I can't believe you told me your age was 66. I mean, it was just so far away. You look like, you know, the jockey, you know. And,
Peter Stringer, the jockey.
Yeah, I hope you get to ride. it's been brilliant talking to you. It's brilliant talking to you. And I'm really blown away by your professionalism and your conscientiousness and your credit. Your credit to those 34 years and a credit to everybody that's worked with you and that you've been a Maureen Potter yourself and spread your professionalism presumably to so many young actors and actresses. So well done.
Hopefully. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And my thanks to Joe Conlon for coming in and talking to us on the Mario Rosenstock podcast. If you would like to get in contact with me, just mariorosenstock@gmail.com. I read them all and I get back to most of them. Please, if you can, if you enjoy these series of podcasts, they're free. Just subscribe, not unlike a lot of other podcasts where there's premium and you have to pay, and you know, every month you don't have to pay a penny for this one. Just subscribe and follow if you enjoy it, and please just tell one other person if you did enjoy it. Thanks a million. See you same time, same place next week.